I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Some of you have been around a minute, know what a blessing it is. There were 20-something ladies up here singing just a moment ago, and I remember going to church with a whole church. There wasn't that many there on Sunday morning. And what God's done at this church has been a great blessing. Giving the glory, and I don't know about you, but I look for Him to do greater things. All right, that was all for free. Congratulations. Matthew chapter 7 tonight. I've got a question for you before we get into the message, though. What do you think is the most quoted verse in the Bible? John 3:16. Any other takers? John 3:16 might be your first guess, and you may be right. There's certainly, when you go to a ball game, there's signs there, and people sign it on. Thomas Kincaid puts it on his paintings by his signature, and it's John 3:16 is everywhere. But I think probably the most quoted and most misapplied verse in all of Scripture is right here in our text tonight. And let's read it. Let's stand together if you're able. Matthew 7, and we'll just read verse 1 to get started. Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not that ye be not judged. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Please help us as we look into it tonight that we can rightly divide Your Word of truth. Give us understanding through the teaching of Your Holy Spirit. And as we try to not just take one verse and use it out of context, Lord, but to look into the whole counsel of God and understand these truths rightly, help us to be obedient to Your Word, Lord. Help us to never be hypocritical, but to understand exactly what we are and what we would be without Christ, and help us to have love in our hearts for our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Easy to judge other people. Old story told by H.A. Ironside, told about a man named Bishop Potter, who was on one of the old transatlantic ships that would cross from England to America. And as he was going across, many times they would share a stateroom, a room, kind of like a hotel room, a very small room, with someone else. They had the option, if they wanted to take their valuables down to a man who would, they called him a purser, and he had a safe, and he would keep your things, he would tag them and keep them in a safe for you, since you were sharing with a room with someone you didn't know. And so Bishop Potter had gone into his stateroom, he had met his roommate, and he went to the purser a little while later that day and said, I don't normally take advantage of this service, but I've been to my stateroom and I've seen my roommate. And since he kind of looks like a guy I might not trust, he said, I think I'd like to go ahead and put my valuables in the safe. And he said, that's all right, Bishop Potter. Your roommate's already been here. And he said the very same thing about you. You know, it's so easy to judge other people. It's so easy to find fault in other people, and we are very quick to judge a book by its cover. We're quick to do that. Some of you, if you ever did bother to read a book, you pick it out by the picture on the cover, which, by the way, is a terrible idea. Amen. 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 It really is. Some of the best books in the world have the worst covers, and the worst books have the best covers. And so, by the way, the best book's right here. Amen. If you're looking for something to read. But we're so quick to judge other people. But I really do think that this may be the most. If it's not John 3:16, for sure, it's this one. Judge not that you be not judged. And any time a Christian goes into the world and says things like homosexuality is a sin, and says things like marriage is between a man and a woman, and says that it's not right to live with somebody if you're not married to them, and says things like it's wrong to have premarital or extramarital sex, and all of these kind of things that we might make right judgments about, the world shouts back at us and gives us this one verse. Didn't Jesus say not to judge? And that's the only thing they know from the Bible, and what they know about that is not right. Amen. And so, what does it mean? Did the Lord mean to never ever judge concerning anything? Well, of course not. We see in the Bible says, I speak as to wise men in 1 Corinthians 2:15, judge ye what I say. The Bible says in
1 Corinthians 11:13, judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Where judge means weigh carefully and form an opinion or a consideration. So God tells us in his words, we need to judge things. We need to look at this thing carefully and make a determination what's right and what's wrong. So we are to judge in that sense. Again, we see Christ says in Luke 7:43, he says, thou hast rightly judged with, and he's made a right conclusion. In Acts 16:15, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, he says in John 18:31, take ye him and judge him according to your law. And in Romans 14:3, judge as the force of despise is clear from the first member of the court. And we see all throughout the scriptures, judge. And the Lord told his disciples to make righteous judgments. And so the Bible, when Jesus says, judge not, he doesn't mean blanket without anything. Don't ever make a judgment about anything. That's not what he means. So what is it that he means? Well, I think it's important for us as we continue to study through the Sermon on the Mount that we keep things in context. And there was a key verse that we had, and it kind of the key to what we've been studying, where the Lord said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord was telling his church, his disciples, he was saying, listen, you need to have a different kind of righteousness than the Pharisees have. And the Pharisees were well known to, and it was their preeminent characteristic, this was who they were, to judge themselves to be better than everybody else, and to judge themselves and those who were like them to be good and right and perfect in the Lord, and anybody who was different to them, they despised. And you can see it plainly. In Luke 18:9, the Bible says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Well, who he was talking about? He was talking about the Pharisees. And he was talking about their attitude towards the publicans. And the Lord says, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't judge yourself to be righteous and judge others to be wicked. Don't judge in that way. And so the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to act in a way that is exactly opposite to the way the Pharisees acted. We are not to trust in ourselves that we are righteous and despise others, yet we are to very strictly, very heavily judge ourselves and to love and show mercy unto others. There's a lot of different ways that we don't need to judge. And studying, I've been reading a lot of stuff from A.W. Pink, and I don't have the time to go into all that he had to say, but there was great things that he had to say. Challenged us not to judge presumptuously. In other words, you don't go into a matter and judge it. It's unwise to judge a matter before you've heard the whole thing. You don't just jump into something and make a judgment on just what you come up upon. Because things aren't always the way that they seem. You need to hear a matter, and if you're wise, you'll hear both sides of the matter. And if you're wise, you'll seek out two or three witnesses to determine something. But we're real quick to just jump in the middle of something, catch the tail end of a conversation and what somebody said, and make a judgment. It's very common in our world today. It's a favorite thing of the media and lots of people on the internet today to just take a little clip of what somebody said and stick it out there on the internet for the world to see. And if you take it out of context, they say something completely different. But when you see it in context with everything else that was said and done, then it makes perfect sense. And so we need to be quick. We don't judge presumptuously. Don't just judge that way or hastily. Don't judge unjustly. Don't judge unmercifully. Listen, you want mercy when you do wrong, don't you? And we ought to show others the kind of mercy that we want to be shown. But I think mostly what the Lord is telling us in this scripture is that we would not judge hypocritically. Don't judge hypocritically. Don't think yourself to be better than other people and then look down on them. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself.
For thou that judgest doest the same things. Romans chapter 2, he spends a long discourse. He said, those that preach that you ought not steal, do you steal? And we might be very quick to condemn somebody who breaks into our truck and steals our radio. Amen? When I was in college, somebody broke into my Jeep and stole my camera, which at that time was an awesome camera, I'm just telling you. It wouldn't be worth 5 cents right now, but back then it was awesome. Actually, I got to confess to you, they really didn't have to break in. All they had to do was open the door because I didn't lock my doors. I did after that. No, I look at somebody who gets into somebody else's vehicle or breaks into their house and steals things. We judge that, right? But are we not thieves if we steal time from our employer? I mean, if we're supposed to be doing this job and we're doing nothing, is that not stealing? And the point is, we're so quick to judge someone else for the very thing that we are guilty of ourselves. And the Bible says when you judge another man for what he's done, you're condemning yourself. Now, does that mean we can't call sin sin? No. It just means we don't need to be hypocritical about it. This is when I share the gospel with people and I say, have you ever told a lie? Oh, yeah, everybody's done. How many lies do you think you've told in your life? Crayla, how many lies have you told in your life? No, I'm just kidding. Today. Today. She can't even count the ones she told today. Yeah, me too. When I use the law with somebody, I always say, you know what, I'm guilty of that too. Me too. As a matter of fact, I'll just be proud for a moment and boast. I tell them I've violated all the commandments. That puts people at ease when you let them know, thou shalt not kill. I've done that. Not physically, but in my heart. I'm a murderer. It really helps people to be at ease with you when you're trying to share the gospel with them. No, we don't. We need to, when we look at other people, when we condemn sin, we need to realize that we're sinners too. That's the point. So, let's look on. Verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Now, most of the time when we look at this passage, I think our first understanding would be, if you go around judging people and you're harsh in your judgment, then the rest of the other people will be harsh in their judgment of you. If you go around dealing out harsh punishment to other people, then that's what you're going to get. We almost look at this verse as kind of a biblical karma. You know, what goes around comes around. By the way, karma is not biblical at all. That was an oxymoron. So we're going to cut that out of the what we put on the internet. That's the way we look at it, though. You know, if you treat people bad, they're going to treat you bad. And if you treat people right, they'll treat you right. And maybe there's a degree of truth to that. But I just want to tell you that I'm not sure that that's really what the Lord's. I think it goes a lot deeper than that. Because the Lord certainly judged people righteously. And he certainly dealt with people in mercy and love, did he not? And how did they treat him? The Apostle Paul went around speaking the truth in love. And he judged righteously, and he did the Lord's will, and he had a meek and humble spirit about the work of the Lord, and he did all of those things and judged in a right way and measured things out in a right way. And yet, how was he treated? Well, I don't know, beaten with rods, scourged 3 times, put in prison, stoned and left for dead. And so when you look into the scriptures, I really don't think that's what this is primarily saying. Certainly to a degree, when you treat people at work right, maybe they'll treat you right. If you take care of your family and your business the right way, there's going to be others will treat you right. But really, I think it's more than that, because our judgment of others will not really alter their judgment of us. But our judgment of others will alter God's judgment of us. You see, the point is this. With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. In other words, when we are going around being hypocritical and judging and looking down on others and thinking we're better than others, that is sin in itself that we will be judged of. When we are in our own eyes righteous and everyone else is wicked and sinful. And guys, we really ought to pay attention to this right here at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Because I know our heart. We think that we're better than everybody else. We have the truth. Oh, y'all didn't want to amen that. Thank you, Brother Steve. Brother Steve amens me when I say stuff wrong. I love it. It's very encouraging. Now, maybe y'all don't want to amen it out loud, but I know in our hearts our carnalness, our flesh, we think we're better than other people. We got the truth. Those other people don't have the truth. We're living morally right lives, and look at the wickedness out there in the world, those sick people. And maybe we would never admit it out loud, but I'm just telling you the attitude of our heart. I know that's the way it is because I know it's in myself. When I turn on the news and I look at what's going on in the world, I don't think, man, I'm just like those people. I'm more pharisaical. I think, thank God I'm not like those people. Right? And yes, thank God I'm not like those people. But guess what? That's not in myself. That's because of Jesus Christ. Thank God Jesus Christ has saved me and changed me. And by his grace, I'm not like that anymore. Not that I'm better than they are, but I've been changed. And that's the attitude of our heart. Whatever our judgment of others may be, God's judgment will be according to truth and without respect of persons. We need to be careful of coming up with wrong judgments of our brethren and others, especially coming to hasty judgments or unmerciful judgments of other people, because all of our judgments are going to be examined by Almighty God. The way we look at others in our heart and the way we treat others, God is going to judge us by those very judgments themselves. Matthew 12:37 says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For ye shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you set it not your brother? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the point is, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And the way that we judge others, God will very well judge us. So, we know we have to give account of ourselves to the Lord. The Bible tells us that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 that whatever we do, we ought to do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. But he goes on to say this: knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And we will be judged by the Lord according to how we have been judged. And now let's go to verse 3. And he gives us this picture, illustration. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt they say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? So he gives us this picture. While you're judging and looking at others, the Lord says, why is it that you would go up to somebody? And just imagine for a minute, because a mote is a speck. A mote, and we did it last night. I got lots of motes in my eyes right now. Still haven't washed them all out. But if I'm going to find a mote in Brother Ryan's eye, I'm not going to be able to see it from up there. I got to get down here. And I got to get real close so you can smell my breath. I had Mexican for lunch. Sorry. I'm not going to be able to see a mote in Brother Ryan's eye from up here. I got to get right down there close and get really in there and look and examine before I can see something like that. And that's what the Lord's saying. Listen, you're trying to find fault in another man's life, when if you would just turn around and look in the mirror, you would see this beam that's hanging out of your eyeball. In other words, you've got big problems that if you would just look in the mirror, you would see you need to get your own self fixed up. What are you doing going around trying to examine everybody else's life, trying to examine everybody else's spirit, trying to examine every little thing that everyone else is doing when you need to fix your own self first? What are you doing? I think there's something to the fact that it's a mote, that it's a speck, that it's a small thing. Because we're so quick to see the small things that are wrong with other people and so slow to see the big things that are wrong with ourselves. So what is it? You think we should never try to help anybody if we do see sin in their life? Should we just ignore it when we see somebody drifting away from God or getting into sin, or we literally see them in sin? Do we just ignore that and let it go and let it pass by because, you know, we shouldn't judge? Well, what does the Lord say in verse 5? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, does he see? Does he say, listen, leave your brother alone and never ever mess with his mote? No. He says, don't be a hypocrite. He says, get rid of the sin that is in your own life and then help your brother. You say, well, brother, I'll never be able to help anybody because I've always got sin. Yeah, we all do. But we're supposed to keep short accounts with God. And if you've got known sin in your heart and life, you ought to repent of it. You ought to confess it to the Lord. You ought to forsake it. And it's not that any of us are ever going to be sinlessly perfect. That's not going to happen. But as the surgeon goes to the scrubbing area and he scrubs down before he goes into the operating room, before you go to try to help somebody else with their sin, you better get cleaned up first. You're not in a position. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want a surgeon who's going to operate on my eyeball to be out changing the oil in his truck and come straight into the OR. Amen. I want him to get cleaned up. Cut those fingernails off and get all that nasty stuff out of there. I mean, I want him to be clean, and that's what the Lord's saying. Clean yourself up first. We shouldn't just ignore sin. Listen, the Bible says in Leviticus 19:17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. He says, don't hate him. If you love your brother, then don't allow sin to abide in his life. Help him, rebuke him, tell him that he needs to get that right. Now, we speak the truth in love. We don't just go around blasting everybody at how wicked they are. But in love, we go to somebody and say, brother, I saw. Let me give you an example. Maybe this could happen. We go to somebody. First, we get ourselves. We come before God. We humble ourselves. We say, God, I'm so sorry for the sin of my life. Please forgive me. Please help me and use me. And then we go to a brother and we say, listen, brother, I want you to know I love you. I care about you. I'm just trying to be faithful to the Lord, and I'm not trying to judge you because I'm a sinner too. But I saw what you put on Facebook the other day. You think that could happen today? Amen. Thank you. I saw what you put on Facebook the other day. And brother, I don't know if you meant it that way or what, but what you said is wrong. It's not right. And I'm concerned about it. And we could go to someone in love and tell them. It's no different than in our own family. You think if you love your kids, you don't spank them? My Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Listen, I don't spank my kids because I hate them. I spank them because I love them. I spank them because I want them to learn right from wrong. I want them to learn there's consequences for bad actions and there are rewards for good actions. And because I love them, I spank them. I know I've told you so many times, but I got to tell you again. When Abigail was little bitty, we were at Walmart parking lot. I saw a little bitty kid running across the parking lot and mommy and daddy yelling at him to stop. And he's just laughing and going on. And when he gets to the end of the aisle, a truck comes around the corner, a big old jacked up Ford. And the mama barely caught the kid before he got to the end. And if she had been just a step slower, that kid would have been gone. And I resolved in my heart right then, my kids are going to listen to me. And maybe they hate me, and maybe they're not going to like me, but listen, when I say stop, I want my kids to stop. Why? Because I don't want them to get pancaked by a jacked up Ford. Amen. Amen. And that's staying on the internet. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I don't like spanking my kids, but I love them, so I spank them. Listen, I don't hate the lost. I want them to be saved. But in order for them to be saved, I have to warn them of judgment. I have to reason with them about righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come. Jude says in verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And we go to people who are unsaved, we have to talk to them about their sin, and we have to talk to them about hell, and we have to talk to them about those things so they'll realize they need to be saved. We use the law, and they don't want to hear the law. They don't want to hear judgment. They don't want to hear hell and damnation. But that's the Word of God, and we have to talk about that so they can understand forgiveness and redemption and remission of sins. I don't hate lost people. I don't go to somebody and tell them they're going to hell because I hate them. No, I warn them of hell because I love them and I want them to be saved. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you have a real friend, when you mess up, they're going to come to you and say, man, what are you doing? I've seen the way you've been acting. I had friends that cared enough about me to help me out. When I was in school and did something stupid or was disrespectful, even to my mom. I've seen this many times. This is awesome. I have seen teenage boys be disrespectful to their mom and their friends say, man, what's wrong with you? Why would you talk to your mom like that? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I didn't need that much because my mom would just kill me if I disrespected her. But a good friend's going to tell you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye with our spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, when you see somebody who has been overtaken in a fault, and see a brother or a sister who has fallen into sin, they've given into some temptation, the Bible says, those of you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So when you see somebody mess up, should you go to them? Yes. Should you try to help them to get right with the Lord? Yes. Should you do it with a hypocritical and arrogant air about you? No. No, you go to them in a spirit of meekness, saying, listen, I've messed up too, and I've fallen too, and I've sinned too, but brother, I want to help you to get back right with the Lord, to get on the right path again. Notice he said, considering thyself. I want to warn you about something that I've been guilty of. When you see another Christian do something awful, please don't ever say these words with your mouth or in your heart and mind. I would never do that. You know what happens when you say that about what somebody else has done wrong? You paint a giant bullseye right on yourself. And you give something for Satan to aim all of his ammunition at. He's going to forget everything else that he's ever thought about tempting you about. And that thing that you said, I would never do that, he's going to come at you full bore. You know why? Because you've already opened up an opening. You know what causes us to say, I would never? Pride. Amen. In our pride, we say, I would never. And Satan says, oh, I got him. Oh, I got her right where I want her. And he will come at you head on, and he will come at you subtly, and he will come at you in every way that he can just to make you fall into that sin that you would never do. You don't believe me? Ask Brother Peter. Though all men would forsake you, I would never do that, Lord. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. I would never deny you. No, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let any man that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And in Galatians 6:2, he said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what this judge not is really all about? It's about loving people with the heart of Christ. It's not about never calling sin, sin. It's not that we can't stand as a believer in the world today and say that abortion is murder. You could say that. You can make that judgment and you would be right. Amen? Thank you. Thought I was at the wrong church for a second. We can stand and declare sin, sin, and that's not judging. What's judging is when you think you're better than the people committing those sins. And there's nothing better about any of us except for the cross of Jesus Christ. This evening, we're going to get ready for an invitation. And while our musicians are coming, would you stand, please? Judge not, that you be not judged. Don't be a hypocrite. First, cast out the beam that's in your own eye. And then you can see clearly to help your brother with the mote that's in their eye. Oh yeah, we ought to love one another. I hope that whenever you see me mess up, you've got the love. You love me enough to come to me and say, Brother Isaac, I love you, but the way you handled that situation the other night, that wasn't right. I hope you love me enough that you would do that. I'm not going to intentionally get up here and sin, but I'm going to mess up. I'll let that sink in. Some of you are in shock right now. No, but when we see somebody mess up, we ought to love them enough to get our own heart clean and go to them in love and say, brother, sister, what's going on? It's not right. And I'm worried about you. I care about you. I want you. Let's get right with the Lord. Let's serve him together. You see, this church is never going to be all that the Lord wants us to be until we take his word and we actually apply what it says. So tonight, as you look around the room tonight, I hope you're not looking around with a magnifying glass trying to find specks in everybody else's eyes. Maybe you say, Brother Isaac, I don't need a magnifying glass. I can see what they got from across the room. Now tonight, let's not look around with magnifying glasses. Tonight, why don't we look around, not really around at all, but right into the perfect law of liberty. Let's don't look around with magnifying glasses. Let's look around with a mirror. And look into the mirror of the Word of God and let God show us what needs to change in our life. And when he shows us, let's cast those beams out by confessing our faults to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So if you need to get something right tonight, would you come while we sing?
Page
530. Holy Spirit's calling, would you come?